Hi there, and welcome to the Grief and Rebirth podcast. I'm your host, author, and trauma survivor, Irene Weinberg, here to encourage you wherever you are in your healing journey. In each episode, I chat with incredible grief and trauma specialists, healers, mediums, and celebs, as well as remarkable people who have inspiring healing stories to share. If you're looking for a podcast that's both uplifting and inspiring, you've found it. Let us help you find your joy in life. Hey, everyone. Loving greetings to you all from my studio in West Orange, New Jersey. And I truly hope this finds each of you well, despite the many stressors coming at all of us these days. Today, I have a heartwarming, inspiring respite for you as you are about to hear the enlightening, comforting insights of psychic medium Jamie Clark, who is going to be speaking to us from Phoenix, Arizona. I was originally planning to interview Jamie at the Helping Parents Heal Conference in South Carolina last April, but it was canceled due to COVID. The good news is that I'm about to share Jamie's wise insights and guidance with all of you on Grief and Rebirth podcast today. Jamie's remarkable talents include psychic intuition, mediumship, remote viewing, the ability to locate lost people and animals, and he is also known to be able to help people with business decisions. In addition, Jamie is the author of the children's book, The Adventures of Rocco and Tuki, The Kids from Mars, the host of Psychic Evolution Podcast, and he is the creator of the Psychic Evolution Training Cards. I'm eager to get to know Jamie better and share him with all of you. But first, we need to take a quick minute to show some love to our sponsors. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, Jamie, welcome to Grief and Rebirth podcast.
Thank you, Irene. A pleasure to be here. And thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Let's begin our interview with this question. Please tell us how your mom nurtured your amazing gifts when you were a child, your years of studying, and the series of profound revelations that led to your gift of psychic intuition and mediumship. And I got to say one thing. I've known people who had psychic gifts and their parents said, forget about it. It's not real. Not till many years later were they, you know, able to get in touch. You were so lucky to have a mom like this.
Huge. And exactly like that, I needed to be embraced from a child, because that type of a dynamic on average does happen with a lot of kids. The parents may not be into it or don't understand it. So it's like, hey, don't do that. But I'm seeing so many more people that are activating now at this time. But for me, when I was first activated was when I was 5 years old. And I was walking from the kitchen, from the living room into the kitchen. My mom was a couple of feet behind me as we were talking. And as soon as I crossed the threshold from the living room into the kitchen, I was just stopped in my tracks and this warmth washed over me. It always seems to be a warmth for some reason. And then floating off to the left above the kitchen table is Jesus the Christ, arms like this angled down, can't see it, but, and he had spaceships over each shoulder. And again, it was just like, vroom, all of this energy washed over me. Now, my mom was starting to freak out. The vision lasted about 10 seconds. But during that, I'm just like this looking. And she's like, what's going on? Are you okay? What's happening? And so as soon as I came out of it, we went to the typewriter because we didn't have computers back then. And after we typed that up, I took out and wrote, P.S. I was not afraid. And now all of these years later, I'm like, oh, that makes more sense to me that this is not the only planet that the Christ consciousness has connected with. And it's that type of an energy that my mom is in, amazing psychic medium. A lot of times she would say things and 2 hours later it happened. In the beginning, I'm like, I'm like, are you making this stuff happen? And then she shared with me the energy and the vibes and what we'll be talking about. But it gave me a chance to be completely open and receptive. My whole family used their abilities. So it was really nice because I became very comfortable with it. And from
a
young child.
Your whole family was filled with psychics? I mean, your dad too, everybody?
Yep. My dad was the practical one. Yeah, he was the engineer, so he kept it very basic, but he always had those gut feelings, those connections, and those readabilities of people and circumstances.
You won the gene lottery.
I did. I needed to. I'm slow but sure, man. I had to have everything set up, but it allowed me to grow into it beautifully with a complete, open, receptive mind, not a closed, negated, like, oh, man. Because, you know, like I do, unless you have that, you're like, is anyone else experiencing this? Because holy cow. And I always say, please always be skeptical about everything, question everything. Just be open. That way you get a solid validation. And so after many years of working with my mom and with the Psychic Evolution trading cards, we started vibing and giving.
So these things were, you had Psychic Evolution trading cards as a kid?
Yeah, my mom and I, these are based on what my mom and I used to do with each other. And so we started sending pictures. We started sending pictures in the mind. But not only that, we learned very quickly that the more emotion, the more energy we put behind like a lion, when I would send her a lion, I would also start seeing the circus and the trainer and all of those things. And it became a stronger vibrational pattern that she picked up on. And so, yeah, it became very comfortable. And it was amusing to me to go, oh, that's pretty cool, because I didn't say anything physically and she's picking it up metaphysically. And so the ability to work with her was huge because it gave me the comfort, the knowingness, and the solid acceptance to go, everything is spiritual. Everybody is a psychic medium. I always say, if you've got a soul, you're a psychic medium. We've all had that gut feeling in the main skin picture that happens. That's psychic. Had the information before it happened. And like I always say, psychic and mediumship are the same.
So you were studying with your mom, really. You didn't go to outside sources. You studied with your mom.
Yes, ma'am. 20 years. I'm very thankful. God,
and,
yes.
Wow. Amazing. And then did you have some profound revelations, you said?
Yeah. Well, as I was growing up, I was not that abundant. And, you know, I've always been spiritual. Everything is spiritual. But I sat there one morning because we didn't have any money. And we were literally down to one can of string beans to eat.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm like, right, universe, if I ask for things and then give gratitude that I've received it and see and feel it as if it's already there, you'll work with me, you'll co-create with me to get me that circumstance, prove it. Because to me, if I've got to have nothing to be spiritual, nothing spiritual to me about poverty, I've already gone through that. And so I said, okay, universe, my life is going to change one way or another by tonight. I'm giving it 1,000% and beyond. I want to work with you completely in these parameters. I'm putting it to the test. And so I rode a bike. I didn't have a car, but I looked good. For looking good. And that was the point. And so I said, all right, universe, that morning as I was sitting at the coffee table, I'm like, all right, I want to see a white rose, just one white rose on the edge of this coffee table by tonight. And if you can get that to me in any way, because I haven't seen one in a while, I'll know this is real. And thank you that I've received it, and I see and feel it as if it's already here. Well, I rode my bike, and I used to work at a bar in the evening time. And one evening, that night, I'm working as a bartender, and this friend who I hadn't seen in a couple of months comes walking to the front door. And she's like, hey, Jamie, as I was driving by, you know, I saw your bike chained up to the back, and I just wanted to come in and have a drink, and oh, I just wanted to bring you this. Bam! I'm like, She didn't even know what she did. She just did it. Out of all of the kinds of flowers, out of all of the colors and all of the amounts, she gave me the exact one that I asked for and gave gratitude that I received. Now, it didn't change everything overnight. I still rode my booty home at 3 o'clock in the morning. But by the end of that evening, I physically took that rose out and put it on the edge of that coffee table where I saw it before and gave it like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I was like, okay, you know what? If I can manifest a rose, I want a vehicle. I want to have some versatility. 3 weeks later, I got a vehicle. Used, wasn't new. It was used to me. And then I'm like, okay, I've got this. Thank you, thank you. I want to get a better job. I want to be able to do things. 3 weeks later, started working in a place called Marriott Campbell Back Inn. So I got to meet all the ball players, the presidents, all these kinds of things, and talk just like we're doing now, which was huge. That was the training for me. That was the point. It was so natural. It's supernatural. So I just had to be in it. Oh, yeah. But putting that to the test, that was huge because my life was going to change one way or another. I knew it. I didn't hope and believe. I knew. And I gave it all solid knowingness and acceptance of this parameter, and it proved it to me. That's why I shut it
for I kind of love the way you said this. Because so many people have said, you have to have faith, you have to have faith. You kind of said, show me, and then I'll have faith.
And it gave me the faith, but I also accepted the fact and the parameters to go, I see and feel it already here. Okay, I no longer live in a reactive state. A lot of us tend to do that, meaning if I have this money, then I feel successful. And if I have this opportunity, I feel effective. And then we'll wait for that outside physical manifestation to happen to feel successful and validated. When if you'll start vibing that way before it's anywhere in sight, you're now sending a vibrational pattern of co-creation that will bring you the people, circumstances, and experiences matching more of what you send out. I've just learned to send out the more productive because I know it will come back to me. A vibrational match.
So you have to, what you're saying to our listeners and to me is that you have to visualize what you want and keep the faith that it's going to show up.
Yes, and see and feel as if it's already there. Now, the practicality, ladies and gentlemen, like I would love for you to do is put this stuff to the test. For me, it also became the parking space. Before I would ask for things and give gratitude, I'd get up in the front parking space a couple of times, which is like a lottery man, and the other, you know, I'll walk. And then I started asking for things, giving gratitude and seeing and feeling myself pulling in. I went from one or two times to seven or eight times near the front. Not only that, I started to see the co-creation with those, not the manipulation, because I wanted to make sure I'm not manipulating other people to get what I'm looking for. But I'd be driving down this aisle, there's no open spots, whatever. I'm the first one to come around this next aisle. And coincidentally, luckily, there is no coincidence or luck. This person right up in front pulls out and I pulled in. Whoever that person was could have been shopping for 10 hours, bought thousands of dollars, talked to whoever for however long, yet through the precision of co-creation, they pulled out and I pulled in. It's huge. That's why I'm saying do the day-to-day things. Don't necessarily wait for 20 years down the road. Man, I want the practicality of spirituality. If I'm getting this and I know it's working on the day-to-day, I know it's working on the bigger dreams and aspirations.
And you know what? I'm going to tell everyone, we're going to get to this with Jamie, but Jamie is a wonderful guide for people who are trying to make life decisions and all. And we'll get to that. But like with this knowledge that he has, he could probably help a lot of people, a lot of you guys listening to us, who are undecided or how do you proceed to improve your lives and make good decisions for yourselves. So Jamie, I want to know what was it about watching your family members graduate life that inspired this calling of yours, and why do you call death graduating life?
Well, death graduation is because there is no death. I never ever talk to the dead. I always say we live only one life, an eternal life, but each life is a minute in the hour in the day, and each of those days goes into our solidex of self-realization. As
you call it, a solidex?
Yeah, like a Rolodex, only it's a solidex, the eternal oneness. That's some of my Jamieism stuff.
I love that.
Part of those, and it's the same old information, but in the practicality of spirituality. And good, we got that. Let's keep moving along. Here we go. And it took for me, because again, I've been doing it my whole life, but it took for me to watch each one of my family members graduate life every 2 years from cancer.
Oh my God.
Tore my soul. And I was like, you know what? If I can't help my family, I'm gonna help this entire planet and myself. And I'm doing it. Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm no longer a hypocrite. As much as I'm a service to others, I keep myself included. No longer is it narcissism, self-realization. We cannot give what we do not have.
Wow.
I'm empty, yeah. So that helped me with the scientific studies, but the practicality to go, I'm gonna make a difference. First, I got to help myself. Otherwise, how am I going to be able to help others?
So what you people call it graduating life, they finish this physical life we're leading and they continue their lives on the other side.
Cool. Here we go. We're always eternal growth-seeking beings. No matter how many dreams, how many aspirations in life we have, once we attain them, we have more. Half the fun's of the journey getting there. Most of them like, end it over. Yeah, okay. I was, you know, pretty good at ebbing and flowing with that stuff, man. But that's why I want to share with people, because to me, nobody needs to be fixed. Nobody needs to be saved. Showing that power within, become more self-realized and begin to live life more than survive it.
Cool. Jamie, tell us about these studies you're involved in and what's it like to participate in them?
Oh, it is amazing and very exciting. I wanted to put the practicality of spirituality with the quantum physics and spirituality now becoming
spiritual. Well, first of all, I got to point that out to everybody. There's scientific evidence that backs up spirituality, right? It's not woo-woo. There's actually now science, more and more scientific evidence that is proving that we do go on.
Yes.
It's not just a bunch of funky mediums who can communicate, blah, 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 right?
Right. Everyone can do it. And people are like, you know, we can live a lot. You know, I believe that scientifically, we have proven that human beings are energy. We're vibrational light beings. Well, in quantum physics, I believe that they have scientifically validated that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, which, what does that tell you? We are eternal. Just the basics, just the practicality, but it's all of those things that, again, I don't know nothing for nobody, ladies and gentlemen, but I will certainly share my perspective. And if we can do this together, we all can learn from each other. I know that the more... Go ahead.
Yeah. What are the studies exactly like, Jamie? Do they put you, are you doing it for an organization? Do they put you in a room and have you, what's going on there?
Exactly. Some of the scientists that I've worked with are at the University of Arizona, Gary and Rhonda Schwartz. Great people, a lot of fun. And we have gotten to the point where we have scientifically validated that consciousness exists beyond bodily death. Now it's huge because I learned so much with the spirituality in these scientific studies, the ability that we're all interconnected. And may I share with you real quick an experience that I had with the, there's as many people as there are perceivers?
Sure.
Okay, with one of the tests at the University of Arizona, there was three of us mediums and we were all targeting the same person. Each one of us were making our connection to the person and each was very accurate with the information. However,
well, like separated out. So like,
yeah, exactly. Yep. All creating, connected with the same person, though, the same soul print of consciousness. And as I was seeing him, as he was coming through, he was strong and stately, looking good. The other medium next to me saw him in a wheelchair and another one saw him differently. And I asked my master guide, Chi, I'm like, Chi, how is it possible that we're all connected with the same person, yet we're seeing them differently? That doesn't quite make sense to me. And he's very patient with me. He's like, well, Jamie, it's kind of like this. You know those pictures where if you see it in one direction, it's an elephant, the other one's a lion, the other one's a zebra? I'm like, yeah. He's like, just like that. It's a holographic universe. I'm like, oh. It's a neural soul way, like a neural pathway. We create a direct unification through a channel, a frequency to that particular soul print. And with some of the other studies that we're doing, it's becoming even more validating. And the technology of what we're working with, in this case, the beginning stages are the soul phone. It's basically a dimensional frequency resonator. We are the soul phone. But the ability through the scientific, through the practicality of this, now manifested through a physical object, might give us a little bit more like the cell phone. We have the soul phone. No connections physically, metaphysically, everything is right around. We just need the end result of communication and the soul phone.
So like the cell phone, we will one day have a soul phone.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, that is so cool. And everyone, are you hearing that this is a scientific thing going on?
That's it. I wanted to bring this more solidness. Exactly. That's the thing. Everything is spiritual.
So cool.
Yeah. What value do we place upon it?
Why does life, you say life doesn't happen to us, it happens because of us. What's that about, Jamie?
Well, you know, I've learned for myself that through our thoughts, what we think about will get back, cause and effect, through natural laws. And how I read for people psychically and mediumship, if I may, is because we're pulling this information out of thin air, and we are. So how I read for people is through these natural laws that exist. And this seemingly thin empty air of nothingness is pure God soil. Every thought you have is a seed that you're planting into the universal soil. Your attention to those thoughts, to those seeds, are what waters them. And it holds the integrity of what you think or plant. Meaning, if you plant a lemon seed, you get a lemon tree, an orange, and an oak, and oak. Through that is how we've come to see things as karma, as a natural law, which is a vibrational match. And to me, if I may, just real quick, to me, a very basic meaning of karma is an action creates a karmic debt that it needs to be repaid.
Wait, say that, slow that down so people
understand
that. Karma is what?
Karma is an action.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hang on a second. Bip, because I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
You got a message.
Yeah. I'm like that. He's like,
hey, everyone, this is a perk here. We don't usually get messages while we're doing
you're going to be feeling and seeing more of him. Okay. When you're seeing those peripherals, it's like, I could have sworn you are. And you're very practical. I love that. That's why I always say question everything. But he is also around you. And ladies and gentlemen, Irene and I had a few minutes to talk, so I'm aware that she has written a book. So I'm aware of that. I want to make sure that people know the information. I'm not going to go, yeah, no, man, it's the point. But within that, he's also going to be working with you on this other book as well. And that kind of, it'll grow into who it is already is beautiful. Because as you know, we already have the past, present, and future all happening now. And scientifically, they're validating that. That's the point. Dimensional frequency merging. It's all energy.
So I got to ask you, first of all, everyone, since Saul brought it up from the other side, the name of my book is They Serve Bagels in Heaven, and you can get it on Amazon. But let's say a person is putting it, you say life doesn't happen to us, it happens because of us. Okay, so we all know people in life who are rotten scoundrels, not very nice people, and we know that there's karma. So does that mean they're going to come back and have some consequences to the way they behaved? Because a lot of times on this physical planet, we go, look at what they're getting away with.
What if, just a potential, if there's karma, that whoever that lovely person is that's not being so pleasant is finishing off their karmic debts with other people?
You mean they plan to be this awful person?
Well, and if we want to take it a step further, because of what I've been learning, is before we come into this planet, we do have a soul group. We have comfort. It's all about love and connection. But also we'll have some, as we perceive it, a contract. And not only that, with our soul group, a lot of them, because we're a team, will be like, okay, you know what? In this case, I'm going to be a child who's going to be affected by a parent or another person. And then another part of the soul group is like, hey, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to come in and play that part of that person. And we're going to play together.
Yeah.
Holy moly. What if when you're on the other side and your soul feels amazing and full, it's like the best mood that you've ever been in, the best meal that you have ever had, is there effortlessly, nothing different. Each time I have that and I become one with the universe, there is no separation at all. Love is everywhere. It's incredible. And again, until you have your own experience, it's like, oh, that's lovely. And it's real. That's the point. That's why I want to share with people, question everything, but I will give you everything I do. I don't do the competition. You know, you do that, you're always going to be pissed and frustrated. Now you stand out, just do you. And the passion, whatever it is, the passion, that's what speaks to people. And wow. You like me know, Irene, we've got to be able to help heal ourselves the best that we can.
We're going to get to that one too. Tell me, you've got two great gifts. One is mediumship, and then you have your intuitive gifts that help people who are searching for life direction and guidance. You want to tell everyone about that so they can all give you a call? They will have deceased people, loved ones to talk to, and they also are searching for direction in their lives. How is it different? How do you work with that,
Jane? Yeah, well, and I used to think that not every psychic is a medium, but every medium is definitely psychic. And Chi, my master guide, and we all have guides. But he was like, well, Jimmy, what do you do when you read for somebody psychically? And my response was, well, I read their thoughts, their attention to those thoughts, which creates vibrations of information, and I read it. He's like, okay, what do you do with mediumship? Connect to their thoughts, their attention to those thoughts, which creates vibrations of information, and I read it. For me, the only difference between a psychic read and mediumship read, a psychic read is in the physical body, mediumship read is out of the physical body. Both are soul prints of consciousness. All through thought, instantaneous.
Right. So someone's coming to you for life direction and guidance, and their thoughts are, I'm all screwed up, my life is a mess, I don't know what I'm gonna do, and I've got this quandary. All right, you've read their thoughts. Where are you going to get them some advice as to next steps, or?
We're all able to do this, but I'm able to get the people, the connections, and the opportunities that are around that particular person in their own life experience. No one's the same physically. They're not going to be the same metaphysically. So I do the best I can to understand where that person is at and how they perceive reality so that I can communicate and talk with them, not just to them. Because most of us used to be talked to rather than talked with. And when I'm able to, and I can be very accurate with kind of where they've been and where they're at now, and they're like, that's exactly what's been going on. I'm like, well, I don't know, but I'm all psychic, right? And they're like, well, yeah. And then I'll give them, okay, well, if I'm right there, I'm willing to bet this other third about what I'm telling you psychically is going to happen is going to more than likely happen because I'm already two-thirds of the way there with accuracy. And they're like, okay, yeah. And there's a lot of responsibility that goes with what we do. It's not that we're always accurate, but I'll do the best I can. And I'm very honored to have a lot of new people come to me. And sometimes I'll give them information psychically and they'll be like, right. I'm like, no, I could certainly be wrong, but you know, I guess we'll see. They usually end up calling back on, what else you got to say? Because I thought you were full of it and it all happened.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but now we realize that anything coming out my mouth for that person is now going to be the gospel, because they thought all that other stuff was a bunch of, and then it happened. That's my point is, that's why I always say, if I get it, I'll give it. If not, I will not make up, because I would not be doing this already 20 years. I'm now going on 21 years of only doing this.
And you it's only not look work. 21. It's amazing.
Thank you. 55, baby. Not looking a day over 54. You know, but it's that kind of body-mind connection. I want to do the best I can, one, to be aware of myself. And if I can do some of what I'm saying, you know, just maybe do something to it.
Right. What is this incredible skill you've got called remote viewing? And how do you locate lost people and animals? Do you work with police departments and stuff like that?
I have worked with the Cold Case Posse at Sheriff Joe Pyle's a number of years ago with the detectives there. And it was a lot of fun. Remote viewing is basically taking your mind sight, what you can see in your mind anywhere. Need target numbers. I use numbers because everything is holographic. It's numbers, shapes, and all that kind of stuff. So once you put a number on that, you now have a vibrational target. And for me, you know, you only sound crazy till it's validated. I was trained by Major Ed Dames, who used to be a remote viewer for the military.
Wow. And wait, yeah. But people don't know this. There have been remote viewers for the military also.
Oh, are you kidding me? They're not silly, man. Hey, who's on the vibe of that corner area there? Hey, we've got two here, one over there, and here comes another grenade. You'll be able to read the energy vibrations to get that. And that saves a lot of people's lives, man. Instead of blindly going to hope we're going to be okay, bip, that they can target a soul print of consciousness because it's energy, and that over the hill or over here or there. And so it becomes really insightful that you can help others to help yourself. Not only that, I do a lot of remote viewing and it's fun. I'll just say that, what if we've been going to Mars for the past 30 years? Them showing us what the rover has done in the past 10 years would kind of like us being put out in our desert from, that's all there is, it's desert, and two-thirds of the planet is water. Like, really? They do have water there. It's frozen. They do have plant life. There is many other things. Watch. Little by little, they're going to acclimate society.
Wow.
That's why I'm only saying, you know, you're only crazy till it's validated.
No, but it's not crazy when it happens. I'm no longer a skeptic.
Yes, ma'am.
No. So here's one for me, for moi. My three young grandsons call me Gaga. So naturally, Gaga has to know about your children's book titled The Adventures of Rocco and Tuki, The Kids from Mars. What age kids is it meant for? And what's it about?
It is meant for kids of all ages. The Adventures of Rocco and Tuki, The Kids from Mars. And my mom and I wrote these books 30 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
30 years ago. And it's just now time getting it out there. But it became the practicality of the spirituality. All the years of studying that my mom and I did, we wanted to put it into an adventure, make it entertaining and informative. So it is about our intergalactic brothers and sisters, that we are a cosmic family is the point. And when we can do this and work together as a planet and help each other as planets, then we grow even more effectively and quickly. And when we can bring the parents and the children together for these adventures, that's huge. Because we have shirts and hats and a variety of other things that the kids can wear to have fun with it. We're gonna give Star Wars and Mickey Mouse a run for their money. Watch, man. We already have 4 books written. So we're gonna do book number 2 as we're putting it out into that. And then we've got many more adventures going.
That's great. As they come out, let me know.
Yep, yes, ma'am. And I will make sure I'll get you your signed copy as well. My honor.
Thank you, thank you, my honor. You got a great story of validation and empowerment called The White Rose. We're all ears.
Excuse me. Well, and I believe that I did share that with The White Rose, where I was.
Oh, that's the one, right.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And because that was huge. Out of all of those, I got the very thing, the exact.
That you wanted.
And co-created, though. This young lady didn't have an idea of what she was doing. She was just doing her.
Amazing.
Yeah, and saved my life. That was
huge. That's huge. And then you've got another story about a man who was in a coma and he enabled you to save his life. That's cool.
He did it himself. But I had a beautiful family who came to me many years ago to do a mediumship reading. And we were very accurate and a lot of information. And like, yeah, that's great. Well, they came back a few years later and they had a loved one who had been in a coma for years. And they came to me for a reason. And they said, Jamie, we know that you can do the mediumship and you're great at it. Have you ever tried to connect with somebody in a coma? And I thought, you know what? No, I haven't. But kind of like as we see if you're past, you don't talk, you can't move, none of that.
So I said, he was in hospital?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was on life support for years. That's why they came to me, because after years, and I think, you know, like I do, it can sometimes get very expensive. And so anyhow, as I was tapping in, I started giving information and personalities and characteristics. And they're like, that's him. That's how he is. That's his personality. And that's the circumstance. And I'm like, okay, good. He's accurate with that. And they're like, oh, he's very accurate. I'm like, okay, so he wants me to follow it up with this. He says, please wait 6 months. He will wake up within 6 months. And they were like, you were accurate with the other information and this? Okay. All right, we'll wait. And just before 6 months later, I got a call. He woke up. He saved his own self. And he wasn't trapped in the body. That was his vehicle that he was connected to. He's having fun, but he was able to consciously connect with me on the mental telepathy, is the point.
It's so cool.
Oh, it's amazing. And he saved his own life. Had he given me something else, I would have said it. But he was extremely accurate. And to save himself from a coma that nobody else apparently was making a connection, he did it. And now they had no choice but to go, that was said. And then he's right here. He's alive and he's talking.
Like, when he came out of the coma, was he completely okay?
Well, it took a little while. Yeah. But it took a little while to acclimate back into that. But yeah, he was great. That was huge. It could have been a whole nother story, man. That's
what would have been the coma, Jamie? Do you know?
I really don't. I'm not sure. I don't mean to be rude to people, but I don't want to know anything about you prior to a reading.
Actually, that makes you more pure because you don't want to know. You just come in.
No easy cheesies, man. That way Joe Schmo doesn't know. You can be pretty accurate either. Good guess, or you know, something to it.
Right. Which a lot of people accuse. So you're keeping it clean.
Always have integrity with this.
Now, I don't know if you want to answer this, and I don't know if you've gotten any messages about this, but are there any insights you've gotten about this chaotic time we're having on Earth that we're experiencing? Kate?
Yeah, you know,
just coming through for you.
Well, you know, just a little bit of information, but the entire planet's consciousness has been reset. It is not a country against a country. It's the virus against the world. Bip. Now everyone has been shifted into the reactive mode. As things are getting, the very disease that's separating the world is literally bringing us together. I have seen so many people and families that were at a distance before the stuff happened, and then it happened, and they ended up getting closer and healing a lot of the distance that they never kept as a clear connection. And so it's kind of like the oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. It's crazy, but it's the energy and it's the frequency. Now, as we're here and the planet's getting shifted into this consciousness, a new way of seeing things, little by little, they'll acclimate us to our brothers and sisters on the galactic scene and the intergalactic scene. So they'll do some creativeness. I don't know if you heard about it, but a year or two ago, they had this elongated cylindrical looking object that was floating around the planet. And they're like, we do not understand. We've not seen this before. And what if just a little bit was that testing the waters? It became one object from a planetary. It's just going around. Nobody's getting any signals, nothing to it. But it unified the whole planet to be connected to this, which is the human consciousness has been reset through the COVID. And now that reset, we might be a little bit more open and receptive to making those connections without fear, but more empowerment. Because our brothers and sisters are not going to come in and save the planet. If they did, and then we became planet destroyers, how do you think they're going to feel? Hey, we had the right intent to save the planet, and now they've just killed 50. But I also learned that some of these intergalactic rules and regs, that you could go beyond that, meaning the outside isn't going to be able to take over the planet because it would be too much of an aspect. So guess what you could do? You can be born into the planet. I'm like, That's genius, because now you're in the human form. You are connected to this planet. You're not an outside source. And everyone's an extraterrestrial. We're ETs to everyone else. We're living on the other side of where we come from before here.
Wait, stop. Whoa, Jamie. People don't know that we're extraterrestrials. So explain. So what most people come from the viewpoint of, okay, we're having our lifetime here on Earth. Maybe that we've had more than one. And we're going to cross over. This is school. That's home. But besides going where heaven is all around us and going to this other dimension, you're saying there are many other dimensions.
Oh, yes.
In outer space and all of that.
Which is a thing
that's never been touched on.
And not only that, with some of these studies that we're doing through that neural soul way, when we're connecting to our loved ones on the other side, some of our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters are on the same channel. Hello. That's my point. I've got an insatiable hunger for this stuff. That's why I love it, because this is not only what I do, but who I am. And not only with that connection of them, but what about past lives of us? What about future lives of us? My job in doing this scientific stuff is to get those soul prints to connect with their future and their past, bring it into the present moment. Because we already are everything. It's just, how long does it take us to realize, oh, and we keep growing. Always growth-seeking beings, no matter how many dreams, how many aspirations in life we have, once we attain them, we have more. Have the funds.
Is the ultimate goal of all the lives that we are living to attain a more sophisticated consciousness to merge with the light?
To me, spirituality has nothing to do with intelligence. It's that knowledge of energy and that love and that frequency. But it brings us all together. It's the connection. And so what am I answering? I apologize for my lack of awareness. I'm rambling. What was the question you just shared?
No, I was just asking a question for me. Was like, when we have these different lifetimes and we go through all of this stuff that we go through and then we cross over, we go to the other side.
Here's another thing.
All of these lifetimes, is it about enlightenment as our souls?
Always enlightenment. Every moment you're growing and learning. Always growth-seeking beings. But in addition, I will also tell you, this is not the only you that exists. I have seen one time in my life another physical me, literally as physical as I'm looking at you standing there. And I'm like, what the?
Wow.
And that was, it was freaking huge, huge. I'm standing, it was wintertime and I had my sweats on and I was riding my bike. And in the apartment there, I had parked the bike there and I was walking in. And as I was getting from the living room into the dining room area, and there was the kitchen here, as soon as I got into the corner area and I was looking at the kitchen, again, this warmth comes over me. And standing in the kitchen with only blue shorts, drawing a dish, looking at me, was another person exactly like me. I was in sweats, the other one wasn't. And not only that, for an instant, my sight went into the other me looking at me, and then back to me, and the other me was gone. I'm like, what the? So that was a soul merging, a unification of consciousness. Now in the scientific, not only that, but the psychic aspect, I use other interdimensional me's of other people's choices of life experience. You choose this, you'll get this. You choose that, you get that. It's a very practical way. That's why I'm saying I want to do all these scientific things to put more solidness to go, other you's and this, and yep, exactly.
Wow, wait. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Jamie, when they pulled me out of my car and I got the message, be loving and kind to everyone, I always tell everyone that includes me, that includes yourself. And you, as much as you heal other people, you give yourself that same love and compassion through self-care and self-love. So how about sharing with our listeners, what are some of the things you do to practice self-care and self-love, and why is it so important? For each of us to be loving and kind to ourselves, not just to everyone else in our lives.
Because the very thing that I was doing effortlessly for others and not myself, I started getting peeved at, going, wait a minute, I'm a hypocrite. If I'm going to be helping others, I should be willing to help myself. And now 50-something years later, I've learned that the more love, attention, energy, and compassion we give ourselves is no longer narcissism, it's self-realization. We cannot give what we do not have. And the ability to be able to put that practical to go, man, I love myself enough for the whole oneness and beyond is the point. But the practicality is being able to give ourselves gifts, perspectives. And not only that, I go to the gym, I walk my beautiful dog with my amazing fiance. We have time for me. I will always help others in every way. I make sure I keep myself included. It's a win-win, baby.
That's beautiful. I agree with you. And I mean, I feel like I also take care of myself, and I balance it with the fact that I'm always grateful. And it's not about being conceited, and it's not about thinking I'm better than anyone else. It's about valuing myself as much as I would value the people I love in my life.
And, exactly.
And being very grateful for whatever good comes my way. You believe, and this is a loaded question, you believe that once a person achieves unconditional love, where people are listening to us saying, unconditional love, what is unconditional love? You believe that once a person achieves unconditional love, that person's world will change in wonderful ways. Please define unconditional love. How does it change a person's world in wonderful ways? And why is it important to begin to heal in this lifetime we are living?
One, that love is truly what there is. But two, the unconditional love, a lot of people, I don't know what unconditional love feels like. How am I supposed to know that? And I'll just playfully, lovingly point out, well, have you ever seen a newborn baby? Or have you ever seen a dog? And in that, and they're like, got it. Because we completely accept and love them for who they are exactly as they are. We're not trying to make the little baby run steps when it's just being born. We allow it to grow in its own way with our complete faith and caring and love for that beautiful child. If we can do that for ours, do you really think the universe doesn't do it for us? Really?
Okay, so, but what do you do when you have people who are not so nice in this lifetime? You unconditionally love them too?
Yeah, I love them, but it doesn't mean I sit and hang with them. I'm not stupid. First time, shame on me. Second time, you know, whatever that is. But it's the point that I am all about love and light. It's the practicality. I love everyone. I love everything, but I'm not going to take crap from people. I don't need the abuse for love. That to me is like, yeah, no, I love you, but it doesn't mean I have to hang with you. Kind of like anything else. It is truly the acceptance of one, because guess what? I'm connecting with me. You know, the old adage, treat others as you would treat yourself. And that's exactly what happens, because in the end, some people, you'll never know how you feel. Really? Once you graduate and you have your life review and you become everybody that you've ever interacted with and feel every energy exchange and then come back to you going, hey, how'd you treat yourself? Like, holy moly, just from my experience. And that's amazing, man. That's life changing and soul nourishing.
That's
the point.
Well, Jamie, and from your life experience, why should people listening to this podcast think about, all right, I've got this issue or that issue or this has gone on. I could heal. I could work on it. I could work with someone. I could do this or the hell with it. I'll be back in another 400 lifetimes and I'll deal with it then. What's the advantage to working on it while you're in this body now?
Because any experience is a good experience. And when we kick in tools and techniques, just like your amazing podcast that we're doing right now, we're making it entertaining and informative. And when people can share and just be themselves, where it's not like, hey, we're putting on, nah, man, just do you. That is when you can get even more healing and acceptance. And so for myself, just like you, Maggie and I are the hosts, and we give tools, techniques, different visions, meditations, all of these things that we want to put the practicality of spirituality for you. We've got a few seasons ourselves, so we're starting to move into a living library. And when you can do this, if you want to deal with this episode, here's this for that one, so people can have that library of information. And they don't necessarily have to talk to a lot of other people. They can just vibe that in their own way.
In their own way, or they can choose to.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. But
I am honored. Yes, ma'am. I'm always here for you. We've got this. It's a team.
That's cool. What are the, all right, so now tell us all the ways everyone can connect with you. You got a podcast, you got books, you got all the wonders of Jamie. Tell us all the ways everyone can get in touch with you.
You got it. Maggie and I do the Psychic Evolution podcast. You can check out psychicevolution.net. And then also my website, which is jamieclark.net. And I do psychic medium and a variety of other things. I do TV, radio, and a bunch. It's fun. It's entertaining. But in addition, you can make connections. We have a variety of other training cards, the Jamieisms, all of these things that can be shared, plus many other dynamics. And in that, check us out and take the journey with us. Plus, the adventures are starting to kick in with Rocco and Tuki, the kids from Mars.
How cool. If they want to get any of your books, do they go onto your website, or are they on Amazon, or what?
Yes, ma'am. Go to the website for now, which is jamieclark.net or psychicevolution.net. And that will be right there. We have both avenues so that you can have fun. And like I said, my mom and I have already written 4 books. This is the first one. We have the other ones. Plus, we're going to have the Intergalactic Space Club for the kids with puzzles and pictures and all of those things so that they can have the adventure. And the parents can do it together. We'll have them create their own characters, their own symbols for the intergalactic seal. It's really cool.
Very cool.
Such a wide variety. Yes, ma'am.
Wow, that's very cool. All right, Jamie, of all people in this universe, what is your tip for finding joy in life?
Taking time for you in any way that you can. For myself, I've learned some tools and techniques. Here's how easy things can shift. Has there ever been a time in your life that you can recall that was just a joke that was either hilarious or a circumstance with a person? Look at that. All you're doing is shifting your thought, yet look at the emotional response connected to it. Bick. That's my thing, tools and techniques. I'm very honored and thankful. Sometimes I only have a couple of minutes in between clients. So what do? I'll take myself mentally to the beach. I'm like, holy cow, I didn't realize how we hold ourselves like this until I just, and within a couple of minutes, I'm back on and ready to go. Those tools and techniques. If I'm in a challenged mood, then was there something that somebody did good for me or that I enjoyed doing? Good, I'll click to that. There we go, I'm on that channel. Oh, I just feel like I was taken advantage of. Guess what? Here's the other one that this person, not only did I assist them in some way, but they actually assisted me, and it's okay. I'm not weak or needy or less than. Nope. As much as I help others, I'm open for others to help me. Teamwork.
That's beautiful, Jamie. Jamie, this is great. You know, not only do you bring people closure through your amazing mediumship abilities, your loving guidance also helps to create a more fulfilling life of love, happiness, and success for all who reach out to you. Fantastic. You're a blessing, guy, especially in these times. And I want to thank you from my heart for this wonderful interview.
Thank you, Irene. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. And here's a reminder, everyone, that you can see the show notes at all Grief and Rebirth podcast episodes on IreneWeinberg.com. And make sure to follow us and like us, and we know you do, on social at Irene S. Weinberg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. As I like to say, to be continued, many blessings, and bye for now.